Hey everyone, it's Michael. Before we get started, wanted to let you know about the Union GK app. The Union GK believes that all goalkeepers, parents, and coaches should have access to personal mentoring, college recruiting, and training, which can be thousands of dollars annually. The Union breaks the barrier to entry to these offerings with a cost-effective subscription. So regardless of your location, your subscription allows you to connect with world-class professionals throughout the goalkeeping industry in a safe, intimate setting and receive unbiased feedback and guidance. For more info, go to theuniongk.com or download the app at the Union GK community on Apple or Google Play stores. Thanks for making the Union possible, and on with the show.
Welcome to Inside the Michael Magid, live from Hollywood, California. With me in lovely Woodland Hills, California, the one and only 99 World Cup winner, Saskia Weber. And
waiting
joining
on
us,
the rain.
Waiting on the rain. Is it about to, it's about to rain?
Do you watch the news?
I do, but it's not supposed to rain until tomorrow, right?
Yeah, but up here when it rains, like, you know, with the canyon, it's torrential.
Well, you know who doesn't have to deal with that? Ali Hanif over at Arizona State University.
That's true.
No, we get like 3 days of rain a year, and that's about it. And I think we've already used up all three of them.
Oh, yeah, oh my gosh. Well, if you guys are listening to this and not watching the vodcast, that is the voice of Ali Hanif, who is the goalkeeper coach over at Arizona State University, as well as a new Union Pro mentor. Ali, very, very excited to have you on board with this whole process. First up, before we kind of get into the whole topic today, which is going to be about building those sessions, you know, with context, adaptable sessions. Why did you get involved in something like the Union?
I mean, first of all, like what it represents. I mean, I think there's such a fracture right now in goalkeeping across the US. And I think being able to be associated and work with you guys and what you guys are trying to get everything together in one place and have some consistency is too good of an opportunity to turn down and be a part of, you know. And also, I think for people to get reliable information and reliable, consistent messages from one place, I think right now there's a lot of YouTube goalkeeping and people kind of all over the place and kind of leading into what we're talking about, context and sessions and just having context and goalkeeping in general. And I think what the Union's doing right now is definitely what it should be. So, yeah, it was an exciting opportunity. It kind of came up just me and Michael just chatting away and kind of spawned from there.
You know, what's awesome about that, you know, is Suska and I, you know, we were discussing this last week in regards to the fact that, like, you know, and not to turn this into an infomercial, but short form, content, it's very difficult in short form content to give context. So you really got to utilize social media to migrate people over to get the actual information, to get the actual content, because you're not really going to be able to give it on a traditional social platform, like with 30 seconds, right, Sus?
No, I mean, listen, you can put up a TikTok video, but, you know, are you really learning from it? Like, because the long form content gives you the why, you know, and that's, you know, such a basis of what we do and what we believe in, is especially with goalkeeping, is the why are you doing this drill? What, you know, what is the goal of it? And the reason, you don't get that in 30 seconds.
No.
You know, you learn how to skateboard, you know, to Steven Nicks and stuff like that, but that's about it.
I think sometimes there's a presumption in understanding, and I think that sometimes just, you know, people think that you know what's going on or you know what's happening, and sometimes it's better just to give a bit of explanation, especially with younger goalkeepers. I think the more they can understand why they're doing what they're doing, it's just there's so much learning and so much growth can happen by just understanding the why.
Yeah.
And that kind of leads into some of the things I do, the nuances that I've developed, but also I've stolen from coaches and like stuff that can help goalkeepers understand what's going on, even at our level, at, you know, at the Division One level. Just because a goalkeeper's at a certain level doesn't mean they know everything, and that's sometimes the presumption that people take. And that's where I think we can definitely help people more.
No, and I love that, because it is the presumption. You can't just go on like a TikTok or even a quick like 30 second on YouTube or wherever and think that you see something and you're going to implement it. Like right. it might not be the right thing for where your goalkeepers are at, their age bracket, like their development, you know, it's just, you know, the shiny penny might not, it doesn't fit, you know? And so if you don't understand that part of it, then you're just, then like I always say, then you're just a trainer and you're not a coach.
You know, and speaking of that, you know, Ollie, in regards to like different voices and everything like that, it seems that over at Arizona State, you have, you know, an entire goalkeeping pool over there who's had different experiences because you have internationals from Germany, you know, and the United States and all those sorts of things. So how does all those different countries kind of blending together and their different styles, you know, help you develop a quality environment where everyone's learning from each other?
I think there has to be transparency. I think that's really important. And then there also has to be just constant conversation. So like my goalkeepers and myself everyone was satisfied. You're a good goalkeeper if you're getting told to shut up. Because you're always talking, you're always communicating, etc. And my goalkeepers are the same. Like we always want to have a chat about things and I want to make an environment where they're comfortable enough to be able to come to me and say, hey, I don't agree with this, or I think maybe we could change this. Or the biggest thing is for them to tell me, hey, I don't really see it that way, the way you're seeing it. And at the end of the day, they're the ones playing the game. So I have to be able to do that. And I have to be open-minded enough as a coach to be able to take that. Because I think sometimes egos get in the way. And that's where you kind of, you know, have that the high road or, you know, my way or the highway sort of thing. And for me, I think goalkeepers have so much more input that they could give to their sessions than maybe sometimes is allowed. And I actually put a clip in my presentation I did at the convention about how to build a goalkeeping session. Was there was a clip towards the end of the presentation which just literally shows my goalkeepers stopping the session and just saying, hey, Ali, can we change this? Because we don't see this the way that you think we see it. And I was just like, literally like a 45 second clip of them just coming over and having a conversation. And then we literally made the tweaks and it definitely worked a lot better. And they saw it a little bit more real. So yeah, you just have to be open-minded to having those conversations as well.
Yeah. I mean, and that'll help them grow to, you know, if they're just doing what somebody tells them to do and they don't agree with it, then it's kind of going, they're just going through the motions and it's going in one ear and out the other. And look, we're all coaches. We're all learning all the time as well and developing as well. So
did you guys lose me?
No, not you.
You didn't lose me. Okay. We lost us for a second right there. But, you know, speaking of that, Ollie, while we're waiting for Saskia to return right there, you know, I think one of the things is that we're trying to develop thinking goalkeepers. And if we want to develop thinking goalkeepers, we have to allow them to think. And allowing them to think is to, you know, force them to ask questions and challenge us if anything happens.
No, exactly. And I think it's also them being brave enough to make those mistakes or not get something right or not. Or come to a conclusion that doesn't work out. And I think that's where we have to allow them to explore that, because if they don't, then they're never going to know, they're never going to build an understanding of problem solving. Is that how are they going to problem solve? So for me, I think that's something that we have to allow a lot more, especially with younger goalkeepers. I think that younger goalkeepers need to have more exploratory options when it comes to training versus being told, hey, this is the technique, this is how you have to do it. And I think that's why it's a little bit difficult.
I love what you just said right there, you know, and we'll get into the topic in a second here, but I want to add on to that because I just had recently a goalkeeper parent reach out to me and the player is playing at a high, high, high level. So you can probably guess what that is on the men's side. And he said, he's not being challenged in this environment. And I said, well, you know, can he be training with the older kids? And he says, well, he does, but they're in the school. And this kid is still in the middle school, you know, program, and it's only not until high school before they do the residency for the program. I'm going to get in a lot of trouble right here, but then he said, he's like, well, he's developing a lot of bad habits. And my curiosity is to, as I continue this conversation with this parent, is he developing bad habits or is he trying new things? Because like, there's a difference, like. You know, I used to be such a stickler on technique and technique and technique and technique, you know, and over the last few years, I've started recognizing how much more technique is just, you know, something you use to be successful in an action as opposed to mm-hmm. the end all, the with ends all, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's the curiosity. Also, I mean, this kid might be growing, you know, he might be 6'2" now, you know, and he was 5'8" last year. So mm-hmm. like his body, so maybe what looks like him getting lazy or him, you know, not trying, is it's just his body's having difficulty handling the same, moving the same, that sort of thing.
I think that I completely agree. And I also think that goalkeepers need to be allowed to figure out what type of goalkeeper they're going to be and then what technically works for their body shape, what works for their speed, what works for their agility, etc. And that's something that I've had to learn over the last couple of years, especially as I was working more consistently with college goalkeepers. They're already at an age where changing technique gets pretty difficult when you're at 18, 19, 20 years old, because you're kind of setting your ways, you're setting your muscle memory, etc. So how can I maximize the goalkeeper's ability by doing what they do really, really well? So, I mean, for me, you know, I might have a goalkeeper who is phenomenal at making a foot save, can't really get down low with a hand, but she might be really, really good at the foot save. When do I allow her to continue to do that? Because if she's been successful at it, I can't moan much about that. If she's consistently been successful at it. Now, if it's causing issues, then we have to talk about tweaking it, changing it, et cetera. That might be helping her have more success. But at this, at that age, 18, 19, 20 years old, sometimes they're going to be set in a specific way and you have to be able to adapt to that as a coach versus asking the player to adapt to that as a player. And sometimes I think it's always one-sided.
See, I love what you just said right there, because like the thing is that like, If we make it a one-sided conversation, then we're going to have a goalkeeper that's not going to be adaptable in different environments. And obviously this whole mm-hmm. thing right here is about, you know, being able to be adaptable within your sessions and show context at the same time. So, oh, hold on. We have a special guest joining
us. Sorry. I don't know what's going on. My Wi-Fi keeps kicking me off. So if it happens again,
It was the rain.
I'll go to my phone.
The non-existent rain. They're preparing. That's what happens, Ollie. That's what happens though in Southern California when it's going to rain. I can't even handle the thought of rain.
No, I remember when I was living in Bakersfield last year. I know, like, it just comes out of nowhere and then disappears, and you're back to 95. Like, it was wild.
It'll probably work fine when it's raining. Watch that.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy.
Sorry about that, guys.
No, you're fine.
So let's get into this topic. And today it is about building adaptable sessions with context. Mm-hmm. So first off, you know, Ollie, obviously at convention, you know, you had this presentation and everything like that. You started this off with this whole conversation. What do you mean by this conversation? Is this a conversation for us as coaches to have?
Yeah, I think that coaches need to be able to have conversations and also not be as ego-driven to say that you have to do things my way and this is the way I know best. Versus when you have to let the goalkeeper problem solve and figure out, hey, what makes them as good as they are and what are they really, really good at doing? And okay, if that's not the way I see it, that's okay, as long as they've been successful at it. Like, I think that's something I've had to learn over the years. Even right now at ASU, you know, I have a goalkeeper from California who's been taught a certain way, and then I have a German goalkeeper who's been taught a certain way, and then I have an Icelandic goalkeeper who's been taught a certain way. So meshing those differences together is me not holding them to the same standard, but having high expectations in their own standard, if that makes sense, because of what their attributes are and what they're really, really excel at, and then what everything needs to get better at. So I have to be a bit more individualized sometimes as well when it comes to those conversations, because I can't hold Casey Murphy to the same standard as I would hold Caelan Sheridan. Different goalkeepers, different styles. So how do we manage those conversations as well with the goalkeepers? And that's kind of the big piece that comes into it for us.
Yeah, and I've always said, like, I think one of the big things is it can hinder your keeper as well. Like, you have to look at what their assets are and like their athleticism, mm-hmm. and you've got to build them from there. I always use Lauren Brisky as an example, who, by the way, is now playing pro in Sweden. But she has an unorthodox throw, and I come down to this. And if I were to say to her, no, you have to do, you know, your sling throw, everything my way, this way, like, it wouldn't work for her. Like mechanically, she has just perfected this dart of a throw that can one hop to midfield on the run. I'm not changing that, you know, but I can turn around and look at like when I had Hannah or something and say, okay, you don't have your throw is, but I'm just using Hannah. I'm just using an example. Your throw is fine, but okay. You don't have a very strong throw. Let's work on the mechanics here. Let's try it this way and see if we can get the best out of it where I'm not touching what Lauren's doing. And I would look at Hannah and be like, don't do what Lauren's doing. That works for her.
Yeah. I think that we have to be willing to be that open.
Yeah.
And I think that's sometimes where coaches struggle. And I think you have to be willing to be able to, you know, have your goalkeeper be confident enough to come and talk to you about that and say, hey, I don't think that quite works for me. And, you know, we can, and it kind of goes into, I don't know if you guys remember when Kasper Schmeichel, the kind of thing came out a couple of years ago when Kasper Schmeichel started doing the Danish catch. He did it in a game, right? And the whole conversation started from there where, okay, but the technique that everyone's taught for years and years and years and years, the basket catch or a W in that space, but Kasper Schmeichel's showing a very successful way that he's doing this technique that no one's ever done maybe at the elite level, but it works. So how can I be open-minded to that? And for him, it was a handball thing that came to him from when with him being Danish. It was a handball piece that kind of came into him, that technique. But, you know, he kind of changed that little perception a little bit. I think that was a fun little throw in the pond for goalkeeping just to see what ripples kind of happen.
Yeah, you know what's funny that you said that about that, Ollie, is that I remember when that whole thing was going about, Omar posted that on his Insta, and he went viral. And just the next thing I know is that Omar's in blogs and things all over ESPN and Fox and stuff. I was like, geez, what's going on with this guy? You know, I know it's the middle of a pandemic, but do you guys have anything else to cover? No, I'm kidding. But it was cool because it did invoke thought. It did make, you know, people question.
But the thought is here, at what level? Okay, so Kasper Schmeichel's doing this, and am I going to take a pro goal? Am I going to take a Kaelin Sheridan, who's doing that catch fine, basket catch, and say, no, don't do it that way. Do it this way. Do it my way. It's the new bell and whistle. Why?
Right.
You know, why? And so, you know, not necessarily, it's not a better way. It's just, it's efficient for Kasper and but then you have younger kids and it's the same thing as like the spin move to get up or kicking a leg up, you know, like as a younger kid, give them the option, see what works better. You know what I mean? If this is more efficient for them, then your little goalkeeper Paul might do it this way and your little goalkeeper Anne might do it the other way. But you have to have the ability to coach multiple different ways and see what fits for the goalkeeper you're coaching, the individual.
No, you're right. And I think you also have to, I always tell my goalkeepers, right, we want to provide you with a toolbox, pick the tools.
Yes.
And depending on the situation, depending on what you're doing, depending on context, whatever. But my job as a coach is to give you a toolbox, is to have you, you know, when it comes to distribution, you're talking about the throw before. And I say to my freshmen right now, like, hey, let's work on a couple of different techniques and let's see which one works for you. But at least you've got options. So when the situation demands it, you're not going to just do it one way. You've got different ways you can do it. And the same thing comes to distribution. Like, it drives me nuts here in the States, especially. So many kids get taught how to punt a ball. And it's just the only technique they get taught, so they never know any other way of doing it. And people who know me really well know that I hate you saying that word, because if I have a dream in American soccer, it's to one day eradicate that word from goalkeeping completely. Is just stop people saying the word punt and show goalkeepers like, hey, like, there's so many different, you know what I mean? Like, that's
that. No, but absolutely. But also, we get back to the why, right? Yeah. So it's a different type of ball. If you do a side volley, if you do a half volley, I was a big half vollier, or a punt, right? A half volley and a will cut the wind. So if it's a windy day and you're doing a half volley, it's going to cut the wind because it's got a backspin on it. If you punt the ball, it's going to float up. Punt, there's that word for you. If you the ball, like it's going to float up and catch the wind. Like the, exactly. It's going to, the half volley or the side volley might get to the person quicker and it's going to drop over their head and you can lean them. The why. There isn't right. just one reason, and the toolbox is exactly correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to go to this right here just really mm-hmm. quickly, because I, you know, in regards to like building this type of session and everything like that, is like, oh, you have a specific session plan. It seems like the template that you use to build all these sessions. It's not, you know, fly, you know, every day, you know, you're coming up with a new session plan. Like you've got a template and then you just build your session plan on top of that. So why don't you break down why you go with this, why this works for you, and not, it doesn't necessarily maybe work for everybody, but it works for you.
Yeah. So this for me is a live document. I'm constantly tweaking it bit by bit. And it might be because I've seen something else I like, or it might be because of my group, there's a dynamic change, et cetera, or my environment's changed, for example. So I might have to make tweaks to this document. But for me, when I have my session like this, I write my session out with a pen, because I'm old school. I don't like building out sessions on Quick Goal or whatever. Like I have to do everything.
Kept looking at Saskia with her pen.
Yeah, like I have hundreds of sessions all written out.
But I will tell you that there is a fact across the board that to write something down commits it to memory. That's a fact.
Yeah.
Other than to type it in, it commits. Right, no, exactly. It to memory.
Yeah,
that is a fact.
It does. I'm just thinking about it. Then now I know it's factual that. It makes me remember the session, you know, like in the house. But and then the other thing I do is I will put my session plan next to the goal before we start training. I've done that for like 4 or 5 years now, where I believe that if my goalkeepers can get some context of the session about what's going on, this is what we're going to be doing, this is where we might have to be thinking about psychologically because of the workload, or we might be doing a ton of 1v1s today, or it's going to be a lighter session, etc. I want them to build out some context and some why about what we're doing today. Mm-hmm. So I've done that now with my youth goalkeepers, up to my all of my college goalkeepers, that I want them to know what's going on in the session before we start, because I feel like that's going to help their game understanding grow. Back to what Saskia said earlier, is the why behind what we're doing. So I'll have a topic in there, I'll have some coaching points in there, I'll say, hey, this is the context of the session. Like, so for example, we might be dealing with a high press on the top of the 18. So this is where the session's built around that, get the tactical moment in the game. Or it might lead to, hey, we're just going to be very technically focused today if we want to clean up some areas. But I want to give the goalkeepers a why, and I want to give them context on what's going on. So that, just writing it out and giving it to them, is really important. But also for me, kind of holds me accountable. I'm actually planning what I'm doing. I'm not on the fly, and I'm not picking out drills out of my head. You know what I mean? Like, I've prepared everything for my session.
You know, and I'm noticing here, so kind of as we're kind of watching everything, I'm just going to pause this really quickly right here.
Yeah.
It seems like, you know, and Susk, if you want to add on to this as well too, it seems like there's a difference. And I think a lot of the times, you know, a lot of young goalkeeper coaches see announce service as activations, as opposed to an actual activation phase before you even go into announce service.
Yeah, I think that also some coaches get confused between a warm-up and activation. And a warm-up is you physically getting your body prepared, right? So you're jogging, you're stretching, etc. Announce for me is doing something that's going to get the goalkeepers moving, working with their feet a little bit, working with their hands a little bit, making some decisions. But ultimately, I want it to be something competitive, because I want the session to start off on fire. Like, I want them to be competitive against each other, because at the end of the day, between the three or four of them, only one's going to play. So how can they be competitive through the session? So, you know, there's little games I'll see and there's things I'll pick out. Some of it's related directly to the topic of the session. Some of it's not. Some of it's just something different. And the goalkeepers also have their favorites as well, the things that they know are going to get them going. Very lucky, they love spike ball. They love playing spike ball. So, and then we'll do a version of this with a dummy, for example, and just get them moving around with the ball and just messing around. But again, gets the session going for me.
Wow. You know, sometimes you, Susky, you learn something new every day. I never even thought about that. You know, this is a head exploding moment in regards to that. Activation. Whoop! I think we just lost Saskia.
Oh, I'm here.
Oh. You're back.
Oh, you're on my phone now. I gotta call. I gotta call Spectrum and yell at them after this.
Oh my gosh. I was just going to say, you know, I don't know how much that you caught right there, but like, I never thought about the fact that like warm up, no competition, activation, competition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's, again, it's different for every coach. Like you see plenty of warm up drills that are competition that start sparking that mentality. And it also depends, I think it depends on what you're going into. You know, and so and the allotted time, we always go back to that. So remember, like coaches that are listening out there and players, like, you know, in the college game or whatever, you might not have the full session for a goalkeeper separate from your team session. So if you know that you're going into something competitive with the field players, then you might have to add some competition within your warm up just to start sparking that mentality. Yeah. But, you know, it really depends. It can be either or. It doesn't have to be one or the other.
Yeah.
Like I do sometimes, think that, yes. And sometimes you got to wake your keepers up.
Yeah. No, especially when you've got a 7 a.m. session, you know, like you've got to get them going, right? Even if they're having a coffee or not coffee. But the other piece for me is sometimes I feel like that warm up phase, that jog and the stretch, especially after the goalkeepers had a look at the session. I want my goalkeepers to have that 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes to themselves just to get themselves in the right headspace. And it's different with a field player, right? Because everyone's chatting to each other and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But for the goalkeepers, they're going to be together as a group now for the next 45 minutes. But I want to give them that 2 or 3 minutes at the start of the session to, okay, let them just focus on themselves for a minute and let them psychologically get themselves into a space that they want to be in before training starts. So and that's the reason why I separate it the way that I do.
Yeah, no, and sometimes for me, when I was at UCLA, like some days I would make them go with the team for the jogging stretch because they are so isolated a lot of times that I'm like, I want the camaraderie, I want the team aspect, I want you listening to your captains and stuff like that. So I'm still here.
Okay. All right, you're back. Says.
I didn't go anywhere that one. The screen's gone, but I'm here.
That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable.
Better be a good rainstorm. I don't know.
All right, so let's move into the announced aspect of this, because we've competitive juices are flowing. You know, somebody's been a winner or loser. Now somebody's not happy about that and they want to get it going.
Usually it's me. Like usually, like I haven't had a good game of soccer tennis right in like 6 months. Like it's been terrible. Don't know what it is. I just can't win. And Pauly and B and Olivia, like the three of them are so funny because they love beating me. Like it's their favorite thing to do. So like when it happens and I'm just soaking and I'm like, okay, whatever, like let's move on. And, you know, like I'll be a little bit petty sometimes, just a little bit like, okay, we're not going to play a third game. I'm over losing now, let's move on. And then as just the environment, right? I mean, it's a relationship you have with the goalkeepers and I'm fortunate enough that my goalkeepers here at ASU are a phenomenal group.
By the way, just the fact that the satellites are having issues with the Wi-Fi already, whoever's got sessions with me Thursday and Friday, probably not going to happen. Just want to let you guys know that right now. If the storms are already affecting the air and it hasn't started raining here. All right, let's talk about announced service now because you're saying this is purely technical. So you want them just to focus on mechanics during this. It's not game-like in any way.
No. This sometimes is going to be game-like. I mean, most of the time it is pretty technical, but the other piece for me that I always say to my goalkeepers, and for the life of me, I can't remember who told me this when I was a lot younger, was play the serve, not the drill. And for me, there's a amount of goalkeepers that, you know, when you're watching a warm-up, for example, right, when, you know, we're out recruiting or wherever, maybe you watch a warm-up and you watch a goalkeeper and that ball goes to the right of them and they were expecting that volley to come into the W, they just let the ball go. And it drives me insane.
Because it drives me crazy.
Right, exactly. You know? And like for me, I want the goalkeepers to be, remember you're a goalkeeper. Like you're not what this exercise is making you do. You're not what just this technique is. You're a goalkeeper. So how can you play the serve and actually be paying attention? So I'm constantly badgering my goalkeepers about that and telling them, hey, let's play the serve.
That's 100%. Like a good example would be on crosses or something like that.
Yes.
Like, okay, this cross is not going to come in the same spot, same perfect every single time. Mm-hmm. You know, so are you going to make a half-ass effort for the cross? Are you not going to go for it? Play the service. Like, because it's not going to be perfect every time. Ball's not going in the upper 90 if you're doing certain shooting drills every time. You know, you got to play the service. And I hate when goalkeepers do the drill.
Yeah.
Like, and that's something, especially with younger goalkeepers.
Like, younger goalkeepers need to get, I think that's where it gets lost sometimes. And younger goalkeepers need to get told it more, because I think it just improves your ability to actually pay attention to what's going on. And it kind of pushes
or if they don't go for a rebound, like, okay, you gave up a rebound and you know in your head, okay, well, let's say it's a multi-shot thing or something. I'm supposed to get another shot. So all you're thinking is, how do I get up and go to get that other shot? Go play the rebound. Like, you just drop the ball.
Yeah.
You know,
I'll
wait so for you.
Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah. Like, we're not going to move on to the next one if we're still playing your situation. So it's important for the goalkeepers to get that. And yeah, the other pieces for the goalkeepers that just it's short, sharp movements. It's little bits of coordination, like here and this one would be. It's just some handling, and she's just working on just getting her legs pumping a little bit as well, moving up and down, and not necessarily everything that she's going to do in the game, but there's going to be little bits that she is going to do. So it gets her moving into the next rest of the session. So B is a very good goalkeeper, and she's someone who is very hell-bent on her technique. She wants it to be perfect, and it's something she's constantly working at. She's very good at it. It's got to be technical. It's got to be something that gets the goalkeepers. They have an idea of what's happening, and they know where the ball's coming from.
I want to talk about this, though, with Ollie and Saskia right here, because I think, one of the things is that we're talking about building context into the sessions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of the times, if you've built a session where you're literally walking through it and you've shown the goalkeeper to catch that ball and toss it to the side type of a thing. Well, now you're developing those instincts in them. So when they go into these announced activities, that's how they're going to react. They're not thinking from a game standpoint. So you need to redesign your activities to be more game-like, even when it is announced service.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Absolutely.
I also think that sometimes you have to find a balance between what are they actually going to see and how realistic is it? Because, so here's an example, right? I'm sure we've all done like a multi-ball drill, right? Where we're going to get a volley from here, you're going to get a volley from here, you're going to get a volley from here. But for me, what is the goalkeeper reading to make their movement from one position to the other? So what's initiating it? What's the trigger that leads them to go from one moment to the other? So sometimes that's where goalkeeping gets lost a little bit, and the exercises don't look like the game and the movement's not like the game. So even me, when I was a younger coach, I look back on sessions I did 5-10 years ago, and I get annoyed at myself because I'm like, I didn't think about the game and I didn't think about what they were doing. So, and what are they actually paying attention to? So that's something that I'm constantly thinking about, I still get it wrong. And I'm lucky enough that I got goalkeepers who will tell me, like, hey, we don't really see that. Like, why, coach, have you got this set up this way? Like, and again, I have to be willing to listen. That's really, really important for me.
I love what you just said right there, Ollie. And Saskia, this is something that, as a younger coach, and I'm sure to an extent still myself right now, I do as well too. I will build sessions, and I will be thinking about the actions that I want the goalkeepers to do in that session, as opposed to the demands of the game for those actions when building that session. And a lot of times that's good for me. And it's like, if I'm in a foundational environment with little kids, I've got 6 yards, 7 yards, a little space or whatever, and I'm just trying to think of ways to develop movements for them and to teach them technique. But I'm kind of doing them a disservice because the dimensions aren't right.
Yeah, but I think again, there's the developmental phase. There are phases you have to, and those little kids, they do need to do the repetition and hone like a certain amount of body balance and technique and get rid of bad habits or no habits. Like, I mean, you could go as simple as going down on your knees. Like, we can break this down all the way down to like beginning goalkeepers really young. Mm-hmm. And so there's a place for that, Mike, and there's a place for that repetition and that stuff. You can go to a kid that young. God, their games are crazy. How do you make a game like when, like, you know, there's a kid over there picking flowers and then there's another one and all they have to do is shoot the ball high because the kid's in too big of a goal. So I think there's like a place for it, you know?
No, I completely agree. And I think for me, it's more about realizing this, how quick or not so quick is the game going for the level that you're working with.
Yeah.
And I think also what you're going to see, and actually I had somebody at the convention ask me a really interesting question about, they were working with 8 or 9 year old goalkeepers and they were struggling with, the services that they were giving these goalkeepers. And I was asking them, well, who's giving the service? Is it yourself, who's a 32, 33-year-old coach? You're going to hit it a certain type of way. Or are you having the other goalkeepers in the group also give services? Because the reality is, if you've got an 8-year-old goalkeeper, you're going to have an 8-year-old hitting balls at them.
Exactly.
In games, right? So sometimes we get lost, right? That 8-year-old's not hitting the ball perfectly, so I'm going to jump in and do the rep instead of service.
But that's what they're going to see in a game.
Right, exactly. So, and I told the coach, like, hey, like, maybe think about letting that other 8-year-old goalkeeper do more services, because the reality is that's what that kid's going to see in the game. They're not going to see a 31-year-old belting balls at them at, like, perfect, you know, perfect technique every time and everything else like that. Sometimes you have to just let them happen, and it's not going to be perfect.
I had this conversation with a coach when I was coaching club, and it came up to me, the young kids, and he's like, you know, really having an issue, like, you know, whatever the goalkeeper was, he can't strike a really long ball. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
a goal kick. And I'm like, okay, I have your keeper for like 30 minutes, like once a week. But I was like, I'm like, yeah, and none of your field players can strike a ball either. So, like, I'm like, so when you're working on long balls and stuff, like, put your goalkeeper in it as well. But I mm-hmm. was just like, but this is the age. And so if you're upset that your goalkeeper isn't, I'm not going to sit here for the 30 or 45 minutes I have them once a week and strike long balls. I'll implement it. But you need to work on it, too, because your kids can't strike a ball, you know,
and
serve a ball.
I mean, and that's, you know, that's an interesting thing, Ollie, in regards to being a building an adaptable session type of a thing too, because, like, if the club is not doing a certain service, you know, and now we're talking obviously more foundational or whatever, we need to add that into our environment in order to develop that for our goalkeepers. If the club is not doing
well,
that
I mean, but I think what Ollie's saying is, like, we can't sit there with, like, a player and serve in these perfect high long balls, but not identify the fact that 90% of the balls they're dealing with that get sent in a game are not that kind of a service. So
right,
yes,
exactly.
you have to develop the proper technique, but you also have to identify, well, most of these balls are going to come bouncing in. Most of these balls are going to be through balls. Most, you know, whatever, because the kids can't hit the service. So yes, develop the technique, the foundation, but also right. identify that's not what you're dealing with 90% of the time.
No, exactly. And I think that can sometimes come from how you potentially compartmentalize your session. So if you go into the live part of your session, what we call, where we kind of, you know, rebounds alive and everything, anything can happen like it would do in the game. Maybe that part of the session is where the coach just pulls himself out completely and just let the game happen. Because if you do that, then the goalkeeper is going to see various situations of with players the same age, and they're going to see things that they would regularly see in a game. And the coach doesn't need to influence that. The coach can just step out and just let it happen. So, you know, that's something that I think everybody has to consider at some point in their time. Like, when do I pull myself out to let them develop the way, you know, it needs to develop?
I will say this, though, in a goalkeeper's defense, when, and especially at a, like, in a college level and stuff like that, because we used to do that all the time at UCLA, you know, but they better be going game speed, because right. you've got a through ball coming in and whatever you're working on, and Sunshine Fontes takes 7 touches in the box and then buries your goalkeeper into the back of the net. I'm like, really?
Right.
Like, because that's exactly. going to happen. Like, you better either you go game speed, like 1, 2, touch, 3 maybe out of the rebound at the most, Don't bury my goalkeepers into the back of the net because you're not going game speed and you don't have the defensive pressure on you that you normally would. So that's up to you as a coach too to instill. Just getting the goalkeepers back on that one.
No, exactly.
Ollie, I want to ask you this question because, you know, obviously, you know, there's a lot of young coaches out here who listen to this who are in club environments, independent club environments, which is a little bit different than being in a university environment or professional environment. And we're talking about being able to be adaptable with our sessions, but still give the right context. One of the biggest issues I find at the club level, the independent club level, is that the goalkeeper sessions are a lot of times are age-based as opposed to level-based. So you have an 8-year-old whose demands of their game are very different than the demands of the other 8-year-old. And now you're asking that 8-year-old to strike the ball on this goalkeeper, but it's not realistic to their demands because they're playing at different levels.
Yeah.
I did not let that happen when I was doing club.
No, I think you've got to find a balance, right, between splitting up by ages and by levels, but then also there has to be a way for the goalkeeper, the one that's developing or not developing as quickly or whatever you want to call it, but how can you help them aspire to get to the next level? I think sometimes if you separate too much, it gets really difficult for that goalkeeper to realize there's another level for them. So sometimes you have to mix up a little bit and sometimes you have to let that goalkeeper mix in with the goalkeeper that's a bit better than them and vice versa, because it's going to help them aspire a little bit more, especially build their confidence when you're an 8-year-old, 9-year-old. I mean, I remember I had a kid in Kansas City, little Eric, most confident 8-year-old I've ever met in my life. Like, he would be happy to jump into a session with U19s and not be scared. Like, this kid was, like, honestly the most confident kid in the world. But, like, for him, it was trying to manage him in terms of, hey, like, this is where you need to do right now because we need to get better in this area with the 8-year-olds and 9-year-olds. And then, we'll push you up a little bit to the 10-year-olds and kind of see how you do there. But it gave him an aspiration to want to push himself a little bit to get to that next level.
No, I agree with that. I think that, but I think for me, it was also the identification by the olders to the youngers. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to wrangle, like, if I had a 16-year-old going against an 8-year-old and that 16-year-old wants to blow the 8-year-old into the back of the net, I have to understand what you're doing here. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's communication.
Yeah, exactly. And
because they'll do it. Just,
No, of course they will. Like, because you want to be the winner, right? So I don't care who you're playing. You want to beat them wherever you can.
Well, I think honestly, you know, and I understand, and I'm sure some people are going to come back to me because I've had some mentor sessions with young coaches where they've contacted me and I've met with them and they've said, well, you have to understand that my club, it's the logistics based on when the field is available, when parents can get the kids there. But the problem is that the 9-10-year-old who's playing flight one and the 9-10-year-old who's playing flight three, and I'm just using general terms so people can understand because I know all the different levels out there, but it's going to be a very different athlete. That flight one athlete is probably bigger, stronger, faster than that flight three athlete that they're dealing with.
I don't like the massive age distance. And if we're talking about club, there's club coaches out there, if you're listening, like the other thing that I couldn't stand is if I do have the keepers in a session and then all of a sudden the club coach sends over little Johnny or little Sally because she has to play goalkeeper this weekend and she's a field player. And I'm in like a session with our regular goalkeepers and it's like, okay, we're throwing her in there. You teach her too. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be able to figure that out and you have to be able to adapt. And coaches out there, it's not easy, you know? And if that means that you work with them on the side or, you know, while your players are doing the drill that they know, or something, but it's not easy and that you have to adapt. It's not,
You also have to have those, I think there's gotta be some moments of individual coaching as well. Like, sometimes you can mask the whole group, right? And you can mask the whole group and say, hey, everyone's going to do this. And then as a coach, I've got to recognize, okay, maybe little Johnny is a side conversation about, hey, well, actually, I want you to focus on this area or that area, or we're going to work on this because I think you're excelling. And that way they're still developing in that group, but they've got their own little target. And I think it's difficult, right, at the club level when you've got 20 goalkeepers and you're just you on your own. It's really hard to find a balance between have an individual conversation when you're trying to manage a group and have a session. And I think that's where video helps. I think that's where you can record sessions, and that's where having that tool to be able to watch back on stuff and encouraging goalkeepers to start watching back on training can be a really, really helpful tool in that space. And I remember when I was in Kansas City and I was with the KC Athletics as their director of goalkeeping, and we started there where we had, at one point, we had like 20 goalkeepers, 20, 25 goalkeepers in an hour slot. But we had multiple goalkeeper coaches, but we recorded the sessions because it was a really helpful tool for the goalkeepers to be able to watch back on training and be like, okay, yeah, maybe I should have done this differently, or actually I did that a lot better than I thought I did. And it just allowed them to develop in a different way as well.
Yeah, Mike, you have to deal with that at Archer. I mean, yeah. you have ECNL goalkeepers that are going to D1 college, and then you have a kid that has never played goalkeeper before. So
never played goalkeeper before, never played soccer before. How about that?
and so I get it. It's, you know, you have to figure out yourself. You have to adapt.
Yeah. No, exactly.
Let's talk about these game models, because you were going from, obviously from the, we went from activation. So we went, we went activation to announced to unannounced, mm-hmm. and now game model. And you were just showing some pictures from different games here. And based on that, you're then kind of going into like the areas that we defend. So like, I think one of the biggest issues, Ollie, when we get back to the club level, and I apologize that I'm going back to the club level, but that's a lot of our audience is in the club level, is that they don't have the dimensions. They don't have the space to do defending the space, defending the area, defending the goals. How do they incorporate these game actions of the defending these different areas into their session?
I think for me, though, it's more context-based than it is physically doing those things. It's so my goalkeeper can understand their decision-making behind what they're doing. So we've all heard this term, right? I'm sure you had a coach at some point tell you, hey, why didn't you get that ball? And it's like on the other side of the 18, the cross has gone, it's right, coming out for another corner on the other side. And that's where I think just getting goalkeepers to understand, okay, these moments is where I'm defending my goal. These are moments when I'm defending the area, and these are the moments where either myself or my team are defending the space. So, mm-hmm. you know, context there is defending the space 9 times out of 10 is going to be my communication based to my defenders and organizing them to defend the space, not me defending the space. On the rare occasion I have to run out of my box to make a clearance, then yeah, I'm defending the space there, but it's just giving them context. So when I build out a session, I'll tell the goalkeepers, hey, you know, this is a defending the goal situation, or this is a defending the area, or it could be a mixture of both, just to give them context about their actions, because I think that's just going to help the game understanding.
I love what you just said right there. So it's, I never thought about that before, is that when you're talking to a goalkeeper and you're teaching them about defending these areas, it's about the team defending these areas, not the mm-hmm. goalkeeper. Man, yeah. God, I have a lot to learn still.
But no, but that's,
you're not out there by yourself.
I mean, and this is something I picked up from it was the English FA, actually. They put out a model like this a few years ago, and I thought it was a great way of compartmentalizing goalkeeping a little bit, just to not to think of everything all at once. And I think that's kind of the reason I took it on board, and it's worked out pretty well. And kind of obviously this is the moment. Now, I also kind of leads back into distribution for goalkeepers, because when are the moments going to be where I have to be defending the area and then I might have to receive a ball? It might happen when it's defending in the area and defending the goal, or defending the space as well. So just getting, again, giving context to the goalkeepers about when those actions are going to be demanded of them.
Yeah, I love that, man, and I love this. You know, these pictures that you're showing, and that is very true. I mean, you are going to distribute from different areas. You're not going to be distributing always from the same exact spot, unless you're a foundational middle school goalkeeper and you're standing at the 6-yard line every single time, kicking the ball as far as possible. That's my favorite thing, is the amount of parents that reach out to me and they say, "Can you work on their goal kicks?" Their goal kicks, if they can't kick them that far. And I go, how many times are they asked to do that in a game? Like, how many times in the modern game do you see goalkeepers kicking the ball as far as possible with no
contact? Well, yeah, but I think the thing that irritates me the most with club coaches is it about development or is it about the win? Because then what you do is you see them bring their big leg in and say, you know, Jill will boot the ball. You know what I mean? So you just stand in the goal. So how does your goalkeeper develop? Know, period.
No, but it's also, it also goes to the conversation of, again, back to toolbox, right? Is, yeah, we want to develop them to be able to have a toolbox in the way they distribute the ball. So that's right. So important. And even, you know, even Paoli, for example, our coach starting goalkeeper, she had just over 2,000 passes this season in a 20-game span. And wow. If I went back on all of them, maybe out of 2,000, she might have had maybe 20, maybe 30 passes that went over 40 yards. Everything else was short, sharp, 10, 15, 20-yard balls. So, again, that's an example of people sometimes get hell-bent on that idea of being able to kick it really, really far, which, yes, is a great tool to have, but it's not the only tool. And it's not going to be the only thing that you do. Actually, this is the video I was talking about earlier with you, Michael, that just a little conversation. We stopped the session. We were doing a session on scanning for cutback moments. So can you find a moment to scan runners in the box before the cutback ball happens? And the way I'd set it up, it was just wasn't working the way I was hoping it would. And the goalkeepers came in and had a conversation about what they were actually seeing and when they were finding moments to scan. So we made a couple of tweaks with the pinnies here and on how we were, you know, trying to, you know, for example, we had one of them putting up a red pin, a pink penny or a green penny, and the goalkeeper had to shout out which penny they saw. So we recognized that they had to scan. And then we just kind of tweaked it a little bit because it helped them kind of understand a little bit better from what they saw. So yeah, they were really, really good about it. The funny thing about that video is two of my goalkeepers are like all about the conversation there. And my freshman, she is more observant. So she wants to watch and see what's happening before she has her input. And she's just, you know, and again, she's a freshman. So she's kind of learning a little bit more. And that was a really, really fun, very humbling video as well to look back on when you're watching training, just to let that happen.
By the way, I really encourage anybody who's listening to the podcast right now, just on the audio, to really watch this session and really watch, you know, everything in this presentation, because there's a lot of great images in this presentation here. You know, Ollie, if people missed it and everything like that. Mm-hmm. I like what Ollie said here about how much do you hear and listen to your goalkeepers, because I think there's a lot of coaches out there who listen to their goalkeepers, but they don't hear their goalkeepers. Mm-hmm. If you know what I mean by that.
No, absolutely. And again, you have to understand what they're seeing from their perspective, and you might not be on the same page. And so then, you know, that session gets lost in a sense. Then they're just going through the motions to get through it. But if they're like, you know, we're not able, you know, to use our peripheral, not able to really scan, you know, the way this is happening, maybe we can tweak this a little bit. You got to be open to it, because if you think they're seeing what you're seeing in your head and they're not, then it's a wasted session.
Exactly.
Or you're also teaching bad habits. And you don't realize it.
And I think that you also have to be willing to just sometimes let the things happen in front of you and actually pay attention. I think, again, it goes back to video, right? Video really helps me with this, because sometimes I'll miss it completely in the session and I'll go back on video and I'll be like, okay, I get what they were saying. Or I understand what their perspective was. And this all goes back to, this is a shout out to my wife, because she's always on me about this, aren't I? About, hey, like, are you actually hearing what I'm saying versus just, you know, going in one ear and going out the other way? So, and that's really important, I think, as a coach, that you have to be able to do that, because sometimes as a coach, you can get to a place where you don't feel like you need to hear. You feel like you don't need to listen because you know it all. And no one, in my opinion, no one ever gets to that place.
Absolutely.
As a coach. And I think that's something you have to be willing to do. And you know, I've had a lot of really good coaches mention that to me and say that to me and say that, hey, like, you've got to really think about listening to these moments, and coaches who have done it, you know, and helped me grow in that area exponentially. I'll give a quick shout out to Ali Lipscher, LMU's goalkeeper coach. Ali's phenomenal. Me and Ali, but, you know, feel fortunate to have a lot of really good conversations over the years, and she's someone who also helped me, you know, think about some of these areas, and she's someone who does a phenomenal job as well at the collegiate level.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, one of the things about all of this, and Ollie, thanks for taking the time and to sharing all of this, because I think this is going to be very useful for not only other people out there, but myself. You know, I think sometimes, you know, you hear something and it makes you rethink or reevaluate maybe something on how you're going about something. You know, before we kind of, you know, finish off and everything like that, do you have any advice for any young coaches out there who are struggling in communicating the context to their young goalkeepers? Because I think that's a big, big issue that a lot of young coaches have.
Yeah. For me, I think get to know your goalkeeper first. Like, get to know them, figure out what their learning traits are going to be. Like, some goalkeepers are great at learning from the conversation. Some are good at visual learners. Some are really, really good at in different conversations or just going out and do it. I think getting to know your goalkeeper is really helpful in that space. I understand, though, that in a club environment, that can be really difficult when you've got so many goalkeepers. But I think just giving the time to get to know your goalkeeper can definitely help you find the best way to give that information to them that's going to help them develop.
That's such a great point. Saskia, anything you want to add to that?
Nope.
Okay. She's like, nope, that makes a lot of sense, actually. That's the way that works out. Well, if you're loving everything that you're hearing from Ollie right here, and you're like, man, how do I connect with this guy? I bet he probably gets 50 DMs a day asking for advice. And actually, that's one of the reasons why Ollie came on as a mentor for the union is because of all the people who saw him at convention at the presentation and were trying to connect with him. So there's a way easier way. Ollie, you're available for mentor sessions, not just with parents or youth players, but with young coaches out there as well.
Yeah, as I always encourage it, because fortunately how I got started in my career was reaching out to people and talking to people and getting advice. And the biggest thing I think as a coach I can give anybody else is a little bit of time. So if I can do that and support them in any way, the same way I still do, I'm so fortunate that I can reach out to some of the NWSL goalkeeper coaches and some of the coaches in other areas and reach out about advice or questions, etc. Do it. Like, you know, don't be afraid of sending a message. And, you know, I've had an old mentor of mine always tell me the worst thing anyone can ever tell you is no. It's not so bad. So you can move on and find someone else that can support you. And my DMs are always open and people reach out. But I think what the union goalkeeping are doing, and I think what the platform is going to represent in terms of connecting coaches with other coaches, it's a great app to start using and get involved with, reaching out to mentors.
You know, and it's really easy, guys. If you're not familiar with what we're going for right here, just go to uniongk.com. That's the landing page that explains everything about the platform. Once you download the platform, you go to the landing page, the front page, and you go schedule mentor session. You find Ollie right there. You find a time he's available, and you just click book now. And he finds out that you've booked him. He's going to reach out to you, find out why you want to talk to him, and get it going. And honestly, it's just that easy. And don't feel shy. If you think it's something stupid, you're like, oh, I don't know if it's worth this time type of a thing. Like, no, but seriously, I've heard.
There are no stupid questions.
And honestly, you know, I've done mentor sessions where people are like, I don't want to waste your time. I'm like, well, the fact that you're with me right now means you're not wasting my time, because I'm here for you. So whatever that is, that's the easiest way to do it. Ollie, I believe you actually have a handle on the platform now. I believe it's Coach Ollie H. Is that what it is?
That's right. Yeah, that's my handle on my Twitter. It's also, or X, or whatever you want to call it. And then also my handle on Instagram as well. That I put coach education and just information out there as much as possible, because I feel like the more information out there that people can pick and choose what they like or what they don't like is helpful, right? So and I'm lucky that I've been able to connect with so many people because of the information people put out there. So yeah, I'm gonna reach out if anyone has any questions, anything they're wondering about, and I'd be happy to to connect with people and have a chat.
Yeah, and definitely reach out to Ollie if you have specific suggestions for things that you want him to share on the platform. Mm-hmm. If there's like, hey, you know, I was, you know, watched the podcast and I saw this thing, it's like, could you go a little bit more in that? Because you might be like, I have hours of session on that, hours of footage of that. So I will cut for something. And I believe that you are dropping some new stuff on the platform very
yeah,
soon.
Yeah, we'll be working on some stuff together, Michael, right? And get some stuff ready for the platform and some clips and videos and some presentation stuff and just little tidbits and pieces that people can use. And again, that stuff's ever developing, right? Because I see things that people I like, and I'll make tweaks to my own things, and I encourage people to do the same thing as well. I kind of figure out, people always say that coaches are the best thieves in the world. No coach has ever had an original idea. Everyone's always took something from somewhere else and tweaked it and made it into their own. So I encourage people to do that from me, and I'll continue to do from others as well. So yeah.
Yeah. And obviously, guys, if you want to reach out to Saskia when her Wi-Fi's in, it's at Saskia on all platforms. Actually, at Saskia underscore Weber on socials, and it's at Saskia on the Union platform. Obviously, mm-hmm. You want to reach out to us. It's at Goalkeeper Podcast on the Union platform, or contact at InsideThe18Media.com on email. Shout out to all you guys, who've been connecting with us, people recommending people like Ali to come on board and everything like that. We're really, really excited to be bringing in this new group of people. We have another goalkeeper coach that we're about to announce in the women's game as well, too. And she's fantastic. So we're very, very excited to have her on board. All right, let's get out of here before the rain starts, guys.
Thanks, Ali.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks, Saskia. It was
great seeing you. Absolutely. Reach out anytime.
For sure.
All right. That's all the time on Inside the 18, and we're out.